Not long ago, I heard a brother in Christ, not here, but one who was going to be bringing a lesson, teaching a lesson from God's Word. And this brother remarked that he did not want to be described as one preaching the lesson, that he didn't like the word preach, that he would prefer to be described as one who was sharing God's word. Well, when we think about that, it seems like that's yet another word that, for whatever, however it's happened, that the devil does his work. The devil does is very successful in taking words that are very good that God uses in his word and somehow tries to attach some stigma to them, something negative to them in their connotation, to where even followers of Christ may start to feel like they need to back away from certain words that are in the scriptures. But that's not a good thing for us to do. And particularly when it comes to, in this case, the word or the subject of preaching, when we see what God's word says about preaching the word of God, this is something that is vitally important. And the word actually means, that's used in the New Testament for preaching, that word preach is keruso, which is the Greek word. If you like to have the Strong's number, if that's something you want to write down in your notes, it's 2784 in the New Testament Greek dictionary by Strong's. But the literal definition of the word is to herald as a public crier. And I think we've all heard of the ones that used to cry out, hear ye," when there was some news to proclaim, and there would be the town herald or the town crier, not somebody who saw, who was sad and whined, and that's not what it means. The town crier would be one who would herald or be responsible for sounding out a message that was important for the town, for everyone to hear. And that's really the root of this word. So a herald, one who is proclaiming. And in the case of the scriptures, when it's used in terms of God's word, it's one who is heralding or proclaiming the word of God. Is that a bad thing? Not at all. And perhaps people think, maybe will think about, well, I don't want to be preachy. That's a kind of a negative word that people use, but that's not the way the scriptures use the word. And when it comes to the way or the manner in which we are to teach or preach God's word, there are very good teachings about the way, the manner in which we are to do that in order to please God. But preaching itself is it's a good word. It's a word that God uses, that he tells us, in fact, commands us in his word to do. But let's first consider that the Lord teaches that it is necessary, vitally necessary, that his word be preached, and that it would be preached from the time that that Christ's kingdom was established in the very first century A.D., the preaching of the gospel of Christ was necessary from that time as it began to be preached in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. And it is necessary for that same gospel to be preached today. In Matthew chapter 24 and verse 14, Matthew 24 verse 14, Jesus said, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." But notice how necessary the preaching of the gospel is. And Jesus said it would be preached in all the world. Well, does that sound like that's a bad thing? Does it sound like it's even something that is not important? Or does that sound like it's very vital, very necessary? And when we turn to Romans chapter 10, we're going to see this very clearly here. in verses 6 through 17, Romans chapter 10, verses 6 through 17, the necessity of having those who will preach the gospel of Christ, the word of God. He says, "But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is, to bring Christ, bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is, the word of faith which we preach." Now, that is a quotation from Deuteronomy chapter 30 that he's giving here in Romans chapter 10. About how God's word is near and in our mouth and in our heart. It's very nearby. It's not something far away from us. And he says that is the word of faith which we preach. Is it necessary for this word of faith to be preached that is so near? Well, if it's near, that it's available to us so easily, so readily, and if we don't ourselves study and know it and follow it, and then preach that word to others, then what is going to be the benefit of it being so near to us and so available to us? It is absolutely necessary that we know that word and follow it, but also that word of faith be preached. And he says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, he's obviously speaking about eternal salvation here. And can there be eternal salvation without us hearing the word of God? It is absolutely necessary to hear God's word in order to be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, he says. And then the next verse, he asks the question, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So there's no way to be saved if we do not first believe. But there's no way to believe if we have not heard the word of God, the gospel of Christ. And to hear it requires those who will proclaim it. And that's what a preacher is. And how shall they preach except they be sent? And we should understand this role also. We personally cannot be the ones to preach the gospel of Christ to every creature, each one ourselves. That's a job that's far greater than any one of us can accomplish. But we can accomplish part of that where we are. But where we are not, do we have a role in helping to send others who will in the places we can't go? And the answer to that is yes, he's speaking about that. And we have our responsibility in that too. But when we are helping to send those who are going to preach in other places where we don't live, where we can't go, then we are helping them to preach the word. So that's an important part of that. So we have our own personal responsibility to be able to teach God's word to those that God puts us into contact with, but also to help send others that are going to be elsewhere. But whether we're doing it ourselves or if we're helping someone else to do that, how are people going to hear and believe in the Lord without his word being preached? And that is absolutely necessary, as we can see from what he's teaching in this passage. And he says, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Now, with that statement right there, when the Lord says, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Should we be in any way feeling like being a preacher of his word is a negative thing, and that we don't want to be described as doing that? when the Lord says if we do that, he's saying that our feet are beautiful in his sight. With that endorsement from God himself, that's something we should be very eager to do. Recognize that preaching the word is essential, and that we would be very, very eager to have a part in that, to be pleasing in the Lord's sight. And he says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But we can see how essential it is for that word of God to be preached so it can be heard, so it can be believed and obeyed, so that eternal salvation can come to all upon whom the Lord calls. In Colossians chapter 1, 21 through 23, Colossians 1, 21 through 23, he says, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. Now, who in this world does that not include? As far as those who have lived long enough to be responsible for their actions, where they can answer, be held accountable to God for the things, the decisions they've made, or the things that they've done in this life. Well, we know that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. And as a result of that, the wages of sin, as we know, is death, Romans 6:23. And so he says, you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, he's describing all of us. That was the state that we were all in at one time. He says, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. So we started by looking at Matthew 24:14, where Jesus said that this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And here in Colossians chapter 1, in verse 23, he says that that gospel was preached to every creature which is under heaven. Jesus said that was going to be necessary for that work to be done. It was being done right here in the first century. Paul himself had a great role in that, as we will also see some more of, Lord willing, in a few minutes from now in our study. But this is that gospel that has to be preached. Just as in Romans chapter 10 we read, it says here that we have heard that word that was preached, and then we're not to be moved from it. We're to be grounded and settled by it, but it's that word, when we hear it and obey it, that causes us to be reconciled unto God, number one, but then will also enable us to be holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. All of that comes from God's word that has to be heard and has to be preached. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Are any of those items that he mentions in that verse, could we call any of those things? Well, that doesn't really matter. Could we say it about any of that? He's talking about all of these and describing all of these very vital, very essential things that have happened, but he includes there the preaching of the gospel. And there are many examples of those who did that. The John the Baptist was sent to prepare the way for Christ. How did he do so? When we read from Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, Matthew 3:1-3, it says, in those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John the Baptist came preaching. He prepared the way, fulfilling that passage that he's quoting from Isaiah, which is in chapter 40. But Isaiah 40 prophesied of the coming of John the Baptist and how he would prepare the way for Christ. How did he do so? By preaching. By preaching and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Then, of course, Jesus himself came after John. And what did he do? Well, Jesus came, Matthew 4, verse 17, the next chapter, Matthew 4, 17 says, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, if we're doing something that God's word says his own son did, is that something we're going to say, well, don't accuse me of that, don't accuse me of preaching? Well, that's a problem. If we don't want to be described as doing something that Christ, our master, was doing, he preached God's word. If we're doing what he did, we're doing a good thing. And Jesus, as John prepared the way for him by preaching, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, Jesus preached, and he preached that same thing. In the same chapter, Matthew 4, verse 23, it says, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Matthew 9, 35 says, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. So we see this description of him and his work over and over again. Chapter 11, Matthew 11 and verse 1 says, and it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Over and over again, it tells us that Jesus was going everywhere preaching the word of God. In Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 through 3, we have a prophecy of Christ and what he was going to do. Isaiah 61, 1 through 3 says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the sight of for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that they might be glorified. Now, if it isn't obvious that that's a prophecy of Christ and that Christ would be sent to preach God's word, well, in Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 21, Jesus himself read that very passage of scripture in the synagogue in his hometown of Nazareth. And they ended up trying to kill him afterwards for doing it. But it did not change what the prophecy said and meant, and how Jesus would fulfill that prophecy and did. Luke 4, verses 16 through 21 says, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, what did that prophecy say he was going to do? Well, it says quite a few things there, but it certainly mentions his preaching of the word. And it says after he read that, he closed the book and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. So Jesus, it was prophesied that he was going to be sent to preach the word of God. And he did that. Later in the same chapter, Luke 4, verses 40 through 44, it says, now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place, and the people sought him and came unto him and stayed him, that he should not depart from them. And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. How did Jesus regard the preaching of the word of God and his involvement in that? Well, as he said again, he was sent. Therefore was he sent to do that. And so he was preaching. He preached in the synagogues throughout Galilee. Luke 8, verse 1 says, "And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him." So we see all those descriptions of Christ and how he preached God's word. And he sent his apostles, chose them, and sent them forth to do the same thing. Matthew chapter 10, 5 through 7, Matthew 10, 5 through 7 says, "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand." He commanded them to preach, and to preach what he was preaching and what John had also preached. In Matthew 10, verse 27, he says, "What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. And what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops." Mark 6, 12, concerning the apostles, says, "And they went out and preached that men should repent." So they did what Jesus commanded them to do. After Jesus ascended to heaven, in Mark 16, verse 20, it says, "And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following." Amen. The apostles went forth and they preached everywhere as they were instructed by Christ to do. We have others that we read about after that, ones like Philip, who was an evangelist. Acts 8, verse 5 says that then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And we know that many were converted there. And then Paul, he was converted to Christ in Acts 9 and was chosen by Christ to be one of his apostles. And as soon as Paul was converted to Christ, in Acts chapter 9, 17 through 20, it says, "And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. And then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God." Now, how long did he wait after his conversion before he began to preach Christ, that he is the Son of God? That's what Jesus made him an apostle to do, and he began to do that immediately. So Paul, of course, went everywhere preaching the gospel of the kingdom. In Acts chapter 28, the end of that book that describes Paul and all those missionary journeys that he went on and preached in all the places where he preached the gospel. But at the end of the book, in Acts 28, in verses 30 and 31, at the last of the book, he says, "And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house," this is in Rome, in the city of Rome, "and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him." And so this was what Paul did. That's what he spent the rest of his life doing. And we are commanded to preach. So we've seen the examples. We've seen the necessity of preaching the Word of God, the gospel of Christ. We've seen examples of it, and especially as we see Christ and also the apostles and others that he sent forth to do that. Well, he's commanded that for all of his disciples. So this is a part that does apply to us too. So we're not just reading about others who did that as a description of their work, but tied in with what we've already seen about the necessity of the preaching of the word. We need to understand that we've been instructed, commanded to do that, to be teaching and preaching his word to others. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. This is what we often describe as the Great Commission. Matthew 28, 19 and 20, he says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Now, he was speaking directly to his apostles at that time, yet we can see that that commandment was not just for them, but it was going to be for all those who were made his disciples, which is what he was telling them to do. With all nations, to make disciples of them. He says, "I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Well, the apostles themselves were not going to live until the end of the world, But his disciples would be on this earth and will be until the end of the world. And so from the time he instructed his apostles to do this and commanded them to make disciples of all nations and to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit and teach them to observe all things that Christ had commanded, so he says he would be with his disciples in that same work always, even to the end of the world. Amen. So who is that commandment for? It's not just for the apostles, but it's for all of his disciples. He doesn't use the word preach in the account here in Matthew 28, 19, and 20, but he did use the word at that time because he in the account in Mark 16, for example, verses 14 through 16, says, Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. But he said, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Does that still need to be done today? And of course it should and needs to. Look at the commandment in 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. The verse begins, Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Preach the word is the commandment. We need to do that. Now, we might think of, and we probably tend to think of preaching when somebody gets up behind a pulpit and there's a group of people out there, like right now. Well, obviously, that's not something everybody's going to be doing. But when he says preach, is it limited to that? Is that what he's talking about? That's a part of it. We do need to preach the word when we assemble together. Somebody needs to do that. But that's not only to be done in a public fashion before a group of people. As we can see from several examples, when the same word is used in describing some individuals, and it happened several times in the Gospels when Jesus healed someone, and then they would go and spread it to everybody. They would tell everybody what happened, sometimes when Jesus told them not to, and they would still do it. They told everybody what happened when they were healed by one of his miracles. And that word preach is used over and over again to describe that action that they were taking to go tell people. It doesn't mean that they set up a pulpit somewhere and had a big audience of a lot of people all together at once. But when they were proclaiming to a person and then to another person, and they went one by one and everybody they saw doing that, that was preaching. So that's a way to do it. And when we have an opportunity to, we can preach to an audience of one. If we have an opportunity to speak to another person, any individual about Christ and be able to teach them about who he is and what his gospel is, that's an opportunity to preach the word to that person. All right, Mark chapter 1, we see an example of this, verses 40 through 45. It says, There came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy was departed from him and he was cleansed. And he straightly charged him and forthwith sent him away and saith unto him, See thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it much. That word publish is preach. It's the same word. That word keluso. He began to publish it much and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. We can see why he was telling him not to do that, but he did it. He went and he published it to... He preached it wherever he was to everybody he came in contact with, obviously. And it says he began to blaze abroad. He began to publish it much and to blaze abroad the matter. Wouldn't it be good if we published, that is, if we preached much and blazed abroad the matter about Christ and who he is and what his teachings are to be followed, this is a good thing. But you can see very clearly this was not something that was done as we might think of it, somebody behind a pulpit with a big audience. Mark chapter 5, verses 18 through 20. Mark 5, 18 through 20. It says, "And when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him." This is when he had healed that man who had that legion of devils on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And then he wanted to go and be with Christ. He wanted to get into the boat and go across the Sea of Galilee and be with Christ on the other side wherever he went. But that wasn't Christ's will for him. He was on this other side where Jesus did not spend much time. It says, "Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done to thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel." That word "publish," again, that's the word for preach. It says in the account in Luke 8, in verse 39, that he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. Again, that word for preach. But that's what he did. There are other examples of this. One more in Mark 7, 31 through 37. Mark 7, 31 through 37. It says, "And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came into the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears. And he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, Ephratha, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man, but the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, He hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. But they published it," that is, they preached it. So we can see from those examples there what one person can do in talking to other people about the Word of God. And the word he uses to describe what they were doing when they did that was preaching. 1 Peter 3:15, this would apply to us and as he's describing it here. But he says, "Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." We all need to be ready to be able to do that. And when the opportunity comes, we need to give them that answer. And when we're doing that, we're preaching his word to them. And the Lord may give us an opportunity to do that with many. And as he does that, we need to do that, that great work that we've been commanded to do, following the example of Christ and his disciples that we read about in the first century, doing what the Lord says is necessary for his word to be heard, believed on, obeyed, for the eternal salvation of all them that will do that. This is an opportunity for anyone that's here tonight. If you have not yet obeyed the gospel of Christ, it's been preached, and you've heard that, and this is an opportunity for you to believe and obey it if that is your need. And we're encouraging you to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins this evening, if that is your need, or if you are a member of the Lord's body, to return to him if you've gone astray, and have the prayers of the church if that is your need and desire. So anyone that needs to respond to the Lord's invitation, please come now while we stand together and sing.